God gave all spirit beings choice. So I've just listed them here. Angels, the mighty messengers of God, Hebrews 1:14. The devil, he was Lucifer before he was the devil. He was an archangel. The fallen angels that followed the devil when he fell from heaven, 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. Demons, they're Satan's, before we knew minions as these cute little guys from Despicable Me, they're Satan's minions on earth, Matthew 8:29. And then the last of the spirit beings that we're aware of is man. But among this list, there's only one spirit being that, well, all spirit beings will exist eternally, but there's only one that can be redeemed, and that's humanity. Well, praise God, we can be redeemed. Fallen angels cannot. Continuing this, I want to give you a thought from Wesley Duell. He's a guy that I used a lot in that sermon series I preached, but from his book, God's Great Salvation. Sin did not begin as a created state or condition of evil, but by a rebellious misuse of free choice. God created angels with the power of choice and later created human beings in his own image with the power of free choice. This provided the possibility of the abuse of this freedom by an act of sin. And we see that all around us today, and we've just discussed it recently. It was so important to God and to the future blessedness of his obedient created beings that they have the power of choice, that God was willing to permit the risk of wrong choice and its evil results. You know what? These three, faith, hope, and trust, are placed in something or someone by every human being that lives. In someone or something. First, we often see it placed in wealth, materialism, or the world. Sunday school, we mentioned the prince, the power of the air, and the fact that this world is controlled by the evil one. And Connie said, well, I don't like that. And I don't like it either, Connie. But it's the way it is right now. And when we talk of the world in biblical terms, we are talking about that which he has dominion over. That is the world. Now, people place their trust in that. People also place their hope, faith, and trust in themselves, or foolishly in another person. Now, those that get it right, they place it in God and God alone. Let's look at each one of these separately. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. We see it exhibited all over the place in our society today. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is the easiest illustration of when the scripture talks about the world, what it's talking about. And that is the dominion of darkness. That is that which is ruled by the devil. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So that's the world. That's the world in materialism. That's where some people put all their hope, faith, and trust. But it's a false god. Now, if they put it in oneself, Wesley Duell has some insights. All persons who set up, their own self-will against the will of God to some degree reenact Satan's sin. Sin has infected every part of the being. The soul was not created to be empty, but to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit is absent, meaning the Holy Spirit, the person is left with nothing but self to rule him, except as he surrenders himself to Satan. Since the Spirit does not rule, the predisposition of the soul is not toward God, but toward its own faculties, reason, sensibilities, or will. All we have to do is look at this century and see in the greatest nation the world has ever seen, the freest nation the world has ever seen, the intelligentsia is what has taken us the wrong direction because they have looked toward their own faculties, reason, sensibilities, or will. Any one of these or any combination of these may dominate the soul. And that's what we have seen. So it has not been placed in God, but it has been placed in themselves. Since they are each somewhat perverted by the fall, they, our faculties, are an even more dangerous guide or master. So it is no wonder that we find ourselves and our nation in the state that it is in. Continuing this idea about oneself, putting your faith, hope, and trust there, the scripture is very clear we don't do that. 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. They think too much. They think too much of themselves, so they don't see their sin and hate it. Psalm 36:2. Now, I'm going to go off a little bit from my perfect outline, if there was such a thing, because I want you to think of something in between oneself and someone else, or between oneself and God. And I want you to look at what I used as a call to worship this morning. Galatians 3:23, and I actually like this version best. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody. That's why I like it, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Well, why do I like it? Because in the Old Testament, we see that the world became so corrupt at one point that God destroyed all humanity and the beings on the face of the earth by a flood, because man had become so sinful and so corrupt, God wiped them out, with the exception of Noah and his family. Then God chose to give a guardian, the law, to Moses. And so his chosen people were kept in protective custody by the law. Sin, which had before run rampant and had destroyed the earth, was kept in check, was kept in protective custody, at least among his people, by the law. And amazingly enough, if you look across the world in history, it wasn't just the chosen people. But in China, there was Confucius. The Zoroasters in another part of the world had a similar thing as to the law. So I believe the Spirit of God went out and gave some wisdom to keep society in check. Well, he ordained three institutions. First, the family. First check, first way to moral clarity and moral instructions through the family. The second is through the church. But if the church doesn't exist, or the church has been put off on the shoulder, so far on the shoulder of the road it's been hit and knocked asunder, then what is to keep a people that does not know God in check? A people that does not know God and has no respect for the law has no course except to have happen what happened to the people before the flood. They will become so corrupt and such a stench in God's nostrils that that he wants to see them wiped from the face of the earth. So when our nation started down this path, it's no wonder now it's a stench in the church's eyes and in our nostrils, because we do know the Savior. We do know Christ. But they do not recognize him, nor do they recognize any type of moral code. Do you understand that? Because they say morality is flexible. What is the term that they use? Anybody tell me? It's relative. Whatever sliding scale you want to place on it, it's relative. It's flexible. The law is not flexible. That's the reason the law cannot give us salvation. It can be a protective guardian. It can provide protective custody to make us not such a stench in God's nostrils that he wants to destroy us. But it cannot provide salvation. Salvation only comes through faith, because none of us can keep the law perfectly. But it is a check. And sometimes Christians forget that, because they say, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Well, yes, you're right, that's true. But the law is still a good thing, especially for those who have no knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then if they will at least follow the moral code that is within the law, not talking about the sacrificial system or the dietary requirements, those were done away with without question. But the law is still good. And it is a hedge of protection around humanity. But if you jettison that, what is left? Nothing except our sinful nature. And we have seen through history and through biblical history how terrible a result that can result in. What if we place our trust in another? Not too smart. Another man is just that, another man. Okay, that's not going to work. You hypocrites! Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce, for they replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings. Even among the Israelites who had the law, it just became a talisman. It was good luck. We serve God. We are the people of God. How can we do wrong? Well, you can do wrong when you turn away from the faith. And Abraham was saved through faith, and all of his descendants through Jesus Christ when he came, who placed their faith in him. Abraham didn't have the law, yet he pleased God because of his faith. But these people were using the law simply as a structure. They thought if we follow this rule and that rule, and mostly it was about the sacrificial system for them, if we do this and that, then God's going to take care of us, regardless of how horrible our morality may be. And he said, you hypocrites. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. Acts 17:11. Here you have Paul the apostle, the greatest missionary the world has ever known, going into a world that had no idea about Christianity, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet the Bereans had the audacity to question everything Paul said and check it against the scriptures. Those were extremely wise people. And Paul recorded it in God's holy word that they were such. Because we should do that. Don't trust another man. Even if he comes out and he says he is a speaker for God, don't trust him. And we see it all too often today. There are false teachers out there who come out in the name of Christianity but they're peddling a false gospel. We need to test ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. 2 Corinthians 13:5. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Romans 8:9. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. If the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be. Matthew 6:22-23. The wisdom of God's word astounds me in the truth that it puts forth. But if people don't ever look or open the word of God or look to it, their darkness is extremely dark. If they only think of the little bit that they've heard through our culture or through the Western world and through Shakespeare, for instance, who quoted the Bible all the time, they know very little. They don't know enough to have the light of the gospel shine in their lives. The only way they will know is to have us step out and shine forth. This little light of mine, I want to make it shine. I want to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. If we choose to place our faith, hope, and trust in God, that is a path to success. For he has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all our sins. Colossians 1:13, or the way I memorized it, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his Son's light. Now, I just forgot the end of it, so I said in his Son's light as a summation. But we choose that. We make a choice. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. We are eternal beings. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who believes in him will not be disappointed. Romans 10:9. And yet as we look around the world, all we see is disappointment. As we look across our nation today, all we see is disappointment. Why is 90% of the news negative? I believe it's because they don't know God. They have jettisoned that. All they depend upon is their own reasoning capability, which is part of their sinful nature. So they can't even see the light, even if it's blaring right in front of them. Wesley Duell says about the source of all sin, Scripture clearly teaches that the source of a person's sinful acts is within himself. Environment, the people about the person, can help provoke the expression of sin, but the person himself is responsible. His own will makes the choice of resisting or yielding to temptation. Our will makes that choice. The person's sinful nature reproduces itself in sinful thoughts, attitudes, words, and deeds. It is because our nature is sinful that God insists on a new spiritual birth, a regeneration, a transformation of nature, a complete change of the personhood of each individual. Do you want a better future? When you talk, just look at the way you speak. This has disturbed me a lot lately, the last few decades, because most Christians don't even know this verse that I want to quote for you, Ephesians 4:23, or if they do, they don't care. When I go online and I look, it doesn't matter whether the person is conservative or whether the person is progressive. Vitriol and bad stuff come out of their mouths. Do you ever read the blogs? They're horrible. I don't care, like I said, whether it's a conservative website or a progressive website. The vitriol that's coming out is obnoxious and sinful. When you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. The NIV says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your lives, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it will benefit all who listen. Taking the test. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You must display a new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true, Ephesians 4:24. Almost identical verses. Galatians 5:16 through 17. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. So what should we expect from the rest of the world that does not know Christ? Very clearly, it's not something that the Spirit desires. It's going to be the opposite. And it will be what their sinful nature desires, which will place us exactly in the place that we are in right now, because the predominant force in our culture today is not Christ Jesus. The real church is a remnant today in the United States. Praise God for the remnant. We must shine brighter. We must shine brightly. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. The two forces could also be called the church and the world. And we're constantly fighting each other. That's why we must have Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we must have the Holy Spirit sanctifying our intentions moment by moment.